views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello and welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer and I'm joined with my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Looking forward to today.
Me too. So this is the first of a series of shows. The month of March, we're going to be talking about hope. What is it? Why is it important? We're going to talk about the ways it relates to our spiritual development. So I look forward to it. It's going to be a really full and very interesting month.
Yep, I think so too.
So Dorothy, I know you had a couple wonderful quotes that you wanted to start the show off with. I have them in front of me, but I'd love to hear you read them.
Okay, great, Steve. There are two that I thought would be really good to start this particular program with. One is from Desmond Tutu. He says, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." And then the other one is Martin Luther King Jr. "Everything that is done in the world is done by hope." So this, to me, really helps us focus on the fact that hope is about helping us achieve important goals that are uncertain as we head towards them, but it enables us to actually achieve them.
Well, certainly Desmond Tutu and Martin Luther King Jr. were activists. I mean, these two really were solution seekers. So I can feel that in those quotes too. And this idea of, I'm going to read it again because I love it, that hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. And it's that being able to see. So as you say, it's working towards this outcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think part of what is challenging is that we get confused about what hope actually is because we use it inaccurately. In our everyday conversation, we confuse it with wishful thinking that it's just, you know, we say things like, "I hope this flight's on time," or "I hope I did well on that exam." And so what we're doing is we're stating a desire without any implication that there's something that we can or should do to achieve the results. And yet hope itself, the construct of hope, implies that we have an active part in bringing the end goal about.
Right. And, you know, you can sort of feel it when you think of that statement, like, I hope I did well on the exam. You can sense that if you're saying, "Oh, I really hope I did well in the exam," if you look at it in terms of, like, for instance, feel into if we're saying, "I really need to pass this exam in order to move on to the college of my choice. I really hope mm-hmm. I did well." When you sort of feel into the vibration, you can almost sense that there's a bit of a wobbly vibration there. It's almost like you're trying to will it to happen through just bringing hope into it. But if you were to look at this exam as sort of like saying, "A high exam score will serve me well in applying to colleges. I studied really hard and I look really forward to the results." You can tell then that person is hopeful, that it's mm-hmm. this quality. So you can really mm-hmm. see that there's a difference. And I agree that we often think that we often approach hope from an angle that really doesn't have that quality of actually being present at all times as something that we can bank on.
Yeah. Yeah. And we confuse hope. We think that hope is an emotion. It's not actually an emotion. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of approaching life. It results in positive emotions like being happy or being joyous, but it in itself is not an emotion. It's not something that has this chemical, electrochemical basis that emotions have. So I think, Steve, it might be helpful for our listeners to go over what are the key components of hope? What are the conditions for being hopeful? Is that okay?
Yeah, that sounds great, Dorothy.
Okay. So the first part is goal focus, which is the ability to set realistic goals, goals that matter to us and goals that are actually achievable because they're going to take effort to achieve. So we want a goal that is actually achievable. And the second part is we can think of as path flexibility. And what I mean by that is that we have options, that we can always see options. So we start down one road, it doesn't work out, and we can think about two or three other ways that we can approach it so that we're always seeing this multiplicity instead of we try one thing, it doesn't work, boom, game over.
Yeah.
And then that relates, Steve, to the third, which is known in psychology as tolerance for ambiguity, which is the ability to tolerate failures and disappointments. And after all, that's how we learn, that's how we grow, is to try things out and be willing to fail in order to see whether or not we will succeed. So that's also part of hopefulness, yes.
And you said tolerance for ambiguity. Can you mm-hmm. say a little bit more about the word ambiguity and its relationship to that?
Sure. So when something is ambiguous, it's not clear what is actually like the quote right answer. So people who don't have tolerance for ambiguity always want to know a right answer, one right answer, and everything else is wrong.
Whereas
people who tolerate ambiguity will say, okay, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's something else. And so
being flexible.
Yes, that is, it's part of flexibility, and you have to have that trait in order to tolerate failure, because otherwise, you know, one failure and you're done. You're just going to stop entirely. Yeah. And then the last two parts have to do with our belief system. So one of them is called self-efficacy, and what it means is believing that you will perform well. In other words, that you'll succeed in achieving your goal. And that belief in self is critical to actually being successful. And, you know, high performers like athletes will tell you that they've got to be able to see themselves winning, to believe that they can win in order to succeed. And then finally, we have optimism, which is the trait that is most usually associated with hope, and that's believing that everything will be all right. But it's different from hope itself because optimism doesn't imply that I have to do anything for everything to be all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just that kind of happy feeling about the world, that the glass is half full, not half empty. But it's a critical part of being hopeful.
It also makes me think a little bit about faith, which I'm sure we'll get to. So I'd love to just go over those again. You said the goal is to have focus, so positive expectation to have a goal and see that it's going to see for yourself. This is the end result that I'd like to see. And you said flexibility, being mm-hmm. adaptable. That's another part. And self-efficacy,
mm-hmm.
believing you'll perform well and feeling positive about it.
Yeah. And optimism, and then this tolerance for ambiguity, which actually we need to link it back into the goal because – I might start off towards a particular goal, and as I go along and things aren't working out, I might realize that I need to modify that goal in some way. So the being able to tolerate failures and disappointment, the tolerance for ambiguity, also includes the flexibility of adapting what we're heading towards, not just how we're heading there.
And just staying open and receiving whatever might come your way.
That's right.
Nice. Well, Dorothy, we're already at a break, so let's go to a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about why hope is important, why we want to incorporate all of these qualities and all of these components into our lives. So more on that when we come back.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Want to help reduce the divisiveness in our world? Each year, the School for Esoteric Studies holds a subjective group conference. This year, our focus is on unity in diversity, the science of right human relations. From April till June, we will meditate together, study relevant writings, and share practical strategies for improving how we relate with each other. Join us to help build inclusive communities. Check on our subjective group conference at esotericstudies.net. That's the School for Esoteric Studies at esotericstudies.net.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit SpiritFireRetreatCenter.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit LucidPlanetRadio.com for more information.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. I just wanted to take a moment to tell you a little bit about our two organizations, that is both Dorothy and I. Dorothy is the chair for the School for Esoteric Studies, which is an educational nonprofit. And myself, I am on the board of Spirit Fire, which is an educational nonprofit. And both of our organizations are focused on cultivating spirituality in the everyday life. So this is a collaboration between our two organizations, and we couldn't be more excited. Dorothy, you want to tell the listeners just a little bit more about the school?
Sure. Thanks, Steve. The School for Esoteric Studies focuses on providing esoteric discipleship training through meditation, study, and service. and with the aim of helping people become world servers. That is, we're very interested not just in internal spiritual development, but how people engage in the real world in support of the common good, working in service for humanity. And we're very excited about this collaboration with Spirit Fire. We had been looking for some time for an organization like Spirit Fire to collaborate with. You can find a little bit more about the school at esotericstudies.net, esotericstudies.net. And now back to our partner, Steve at Spirit Fire.
Yeah. So just to tell you a bit about Spirit Fire too, you can find more about us at spiritfire.com. The Practice of Living Awareness is our meditation program, and we base the first season of Spirit Fire Radio on that meditation practice. And then through some wonderful, wonderful conversations with Dorothy on that season show, we decided that we would make an entire season of radio shows. And each month we're going to bring you a different aspect of spirituality, a different aspect of the path. And we talked about humanity as a whole in February for the first month. And one of the things that stood out in that for me was, Dorothy, you know, that it can be a struggle sometimes, that being a human being on Earth can be a struggle, and that so much of what spirituality is about is learning to navigate that. And really, we grow through that struggle. Our consciousness grows, and a greater consciousness, collective consciousness grows. So hope is a really important aspect of that. So it's really exciting to be spending an entire month talking about this. So on the first show, we're talking about hope and what is it? Why is it important? We heard a great quote from Martin Luther King and Desmond Tutu. You know, those two know about struggle, and both were activists looking for ways for outcomes, you know, finding that ray of hope within the darkness. So it seems like we're all doing that at some point in our lives, and we bank on that. We bank that hope is existing, or that it's there, that it's a quality within our human experience. So why is it important, Dorothy? Why do we need hope?
Well, I think you've said it already, Steve, that life is difficult. Life is challenging. Life is a process of learning. And hope is what helps us to accomplish the solutions that we set out focused on. And I think one of the concepts, we've mentioned it before, and I believe we will be returning to it during this month, is that energy follows thought. So whatever we think about, however we conceptualize what's going on, that's where our energy is going to go, and that's what is actually going to manifest. So hope is about conceptualizing positive goals, important goals, having the optimism that we could actually achieve them, and then having practical strategies and being flexible in those strategies so that we actually do achieve what we set out to. So it's a counterpoint to the energy flow that's following thought.
Yeah, it seems to be more of a mental attitude. You said that in the first segment, that it's not necessarily an emotion, but it's this mental attitude that helps us focus on these valuable goals and actually achieve them.
That's right. And there's a lot of research that shows that there are very practical results, that people who are hopeful heal faster and they heal easier. And the belief is that that's because they believe in the possibility of positive change rather than believing that things will always be at the status quo in terms of whatever their health issues are. Being hopeful generates a general sense of well-being. We feel that the emotion that goes with hope is happiness. We feel happier or more joyful. Because hope has embedded in it this flexibility of seeing multiple options, it helps us with our own thinking through of issues and problems, of being able to see multiple possibilities. And there's also just practical research, like with athletes that are hopeful have better outcomes. They're more likely to win.
Yeah, they've got their eye on the prize. That seems to be a real aspect of hope, is actually focusing on that outcome. But I wonder if what part our attitude toward that outcome, you know, we had mentioned that it's not emotion, but if you look at emotional scales, sometimes you'll see that hopefulness is on these very different scales that move from, you know, fear being at the bottom of an emotional scale, and it moves up to impatience, irritation, worry, frustration, or sort of on the negative side. And then on the positive side, contentment, optimism, enthusiasm, passion. So it's really our attitude toward that goal does play a part in it, though, right? Because in order for us to be, if we're enthusiastic or we're excited about the outcome, then I think hope actually comes into play.
Well, hope is optimism is a component of hope.
Yeah.
And so if you match that, if you link that up with the strategy, the setting of the goal and the strategies for getting there, that's what hope is about. I said at the beginning, I think, or I meant to, that, you know, there's a lot of research, but there's a lot of confusion in the research. And when I say that hope is not an emotion in itself, that's not something that is necessarily fully accepted. But if you look at emotion from the perspective of work by people like Candace Pert in her book Molecules of Emotion, you know, and what the chemical basis of emotion is all about, hope itself, it's very clear, is mental in its base as opposed to chemical in its base.
I see. Right. So if we've got an optimistic attitude, then we start to move towards these solutions. We start to sort of create the space for them.
That's right. That's right.
I also think about the placebo effect. You were talking about, if we think about hope as a mental quality and energy following thought, you think of the placebo effect, of the power of this positive expectation. You know, if we feel like we're moving in the right direction or making good choices, we're hopeful, then we're moving towards that outcome. You know, if we've got a treatment that in our mind is going to work, then that power of thought and that power of positive expectation really works towards coming that desired end.
That's right. And that's a different way of thinking about the placebo effect than the traditional one, which is that you're tricking people, right? And it's so one of the challenges is if you have people, if you're trying to test something like a new drug and you're giving somebody the drug and you're giving somebody else the placebo, but if the person who's getting the placebo is basically more hopeful than the person who's getting the drug, then you could get better results with in the placebo situation.
Absolutely. And they're finding that the placebo effect is actually so effective that it actually should be used more often, that we should actually, it's leading research to the power of positive thought and the power of expectation as being actually a component, which is what we're talking about people that are more hopeful actually have a better sense of well-being and actually heal faster. And
that's right.
Have generally better outcomes to situations.
I know, it's interesting, isn't it? But if you think about the scenario for a person who is not hopeful or who is low in hope, then think about the sense of hopelessness that follows that. I mean, you know, we have that word, it has the word hope in it, but it's a loss of hope. And it's very hard to be motivated if you don't see a possibility of change. And so instead, people become agitated, they become anxious, they start to despair, they become fearful, all of these negative consequences from having a lack of hope.
Yeah, hopelessness can almost be a plague.
Yeah.
Wow, let's continue that. Let's talk a bit more about hopelessness. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts Living Awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness meditation retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Welcome back to Spiritfire Radio. Just before the break, we were talking about hopelessness. I know that so many of us feel that or have felt that. It seems to be sometimes just an aspect of life and something that we need to confront. Dorothy, you were talking about low hope people and what arises if we're feeling low hope.
Well, another way of putting that is the people who view life as the glass is always half empty, right?
Yeah.
They can always see the negative. And if you feel in yourself that kind of sense that there's no possibilities, there's no options, it's very constricting. You know, you start to feel very tight. And it's very difficult to see that things can ever change because you don't believe that there are a range of options. And that's one of the things that hope brings is if you think about, if you imagine a time when you've been hopeful, if you're not feeling hopeful right now, you can feel how it's a much more expansive space because there are these multiple opportunities. Now, one of the, I'm just going to take a transition here into the political environment right now. One of the challenges is that when you trigger fear, fear itself is very constricting, and people start to see or start to believe that there are not other options. And we have a very clear distinction in terms of the election campaigns, the campaign that just concluded with Trump being elected. He ran a campaign based on fear, and he's running a presidency right now based on fear, which is in sharp contrast to the presidency that preceded him.
Yes. I mean, we even had hope was a slogan for the Obama election campaign. So it's interesting that we've got those two bookends. And I'm wondering, Dorothy, when you talk about the concept of fear and when you were talking about hopelessness and that we all feel cut off, I'm wondering if this is just personal. But when I think about it, when we've got people in fear, they're more easily controlled. I mean, because we actually have to put our faith in somebody else. When we're fearless, we feel like there's not many options. And it seems like a campaign run on fear sort of gives up the power of the people. It gives up the power of the democracy, and it sort of says, you know, make this change. Whereas for me, during the campaign, the Obama campaign, when it was really about yes, we can, the word was yes, we can, you know, that was the slogan that was often used. And you felt this sort of, you felt a group energy, and you sort of felt that you were all working together toward a goal. But it seems when fear comes into play and it becomes us versus them, that we feel that we're very isolated. It doesn't seem that it has the same components of working together.
That's true.
Is that making That's sense?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the dynamics of fear, as I'll just phrase it slightly differently, is that because there's only one option, then the control is external to us. You know, whoever it is that can deliver that one option, they are actually controlling what's happening. And
right.
I think, to me, the pushback that's happening at the town halls, at the demonstrations, the pushback is against the view that Trump is presenting and living out, that there is only one worldview, you know, that we're in danger, that the world is a dangerous place, and that we have to be highly controlled in order to move forward. And I think what is being said in contrast is we don't believe that. We don't believe that there's only one option. We don't believe that there's only one worldview. We don't believe that you have to cut this. We don't believe that you have to get rid of all the undocumented people. We don't believe that you... So there's a whole series, if you think about that in terms of what being hopeful is people saying there are multiple options, there are multiple ways to have the society that we want to have.
Yes.
And that is hopeful, right?
Yeah, it's that ray of light of seeing that there is actually, if this is the situation, there's a way out. And it sort of makes me think of, you know, times in human history where really hope was all that perhaps somebody had left, that hope was this key ingredient for their survival. If you think of the Holocaust or you think of enslaved human beings, I mean, I personally just can't even imagine, or prisoners of war, where certainly fear is an aspect, but hope has got to prevail. You know, hope is what brings them out of this situation. I was reading an article just in doing some research for the show on a POW who talked about faith. And it will be interesting to talk about the difference between faith and hope, because faith seems to be, it's putting your faith in a power greater than oneself. So it seems to arise if there's very limited options, we just have to have faith that this power beyond us will see to it that this outcome will arise. Whereas hope seems that we are an implicit part of it. We're taking action, that we see options and we're moving toward a desired outcome. So that's an interesting, you know, they're very related, but there's a subtle difference between faith and hope, I find.
That's true. And in the accounts that I've read of Holocaust survivors or, prisoners of war, if you look at the narrative of what their lives were like, it's not only that they held the belief that it was possible that things could change, which is part of an aspect of faith, although faith brings in that the power beyond myself. But usually there's some kind of daily activity that they engaged in. And even if that activity or those activities were not the ones that ultimately led to their being freed, because that may have happened outside of their actual control, they were positioning themselves to do whatever they could think of to move towards the goal of freedom.
And they also, I think, I do, and I also think that they saw their purpose within that activity, and they saw themselves as part of a group, which is a really important aspect of that. In the last month when we were talking about humanity, I know I mentioned a book by Viktor Frankl, and he survived Auschwitz and wrote an amazing book called Man's Search for Meaning. And in that book, he's talking about observing fellow prisoners who were considering suicide, and it was forbidden in these camps to interfere if somebody was going to commit suicide, because they felt like if they've given up hope, then be gone. So the fellow, campmates would be on the watch at all times for someone that they felt was going to commit suicide. And they saw that what they had in common was that they had nothing more to expect from life. And he says that the challenge was to get these folks to realize that life was still expecting something from them, and mm-hmm. that something in the future was expected of them. So in one instance, there was a man who had a child that he adored that was waiting for him in a foreign country. And it was to link him to that child, to that outcome, and to what he was going to work for. Another one was a scientist who had written a series of books, and he was the only one that could finish it. So in all of these cases, it was their uniqueness. You know, it was their individual offerings that gave meaning to their existence. So it's kind of like knowing that they have a place here on Earth and a reason to be here sort of brings hope into that scenario. I find that interesting.
Right. I'd like to switch, Steve, just for a moment to a practical example from my own life, because I think that it's inspiring to know about those kinds of extreme examples, but we need to actually see how hope can play out in our own life. So the example I'd like to share is, for a while, I was on the board of directors for a community center, and there was a branch of the public library that was housed within the community center. It was only open 4.5 days a week, and yet it was within a community where there were a lot of lower-income people who walked, and they would walk to the library, and I could see them, you know, in the library reading the magazines, reading the newspapers, and how important that was as part of their everyday routine. So I raised to the board of directors that we should petition the public library to keep the branch open 7 days a week. And I was told that it was impossible. It would never happen. And the library budget, you know, no, absolutely not. So I thought, well, I should at least try it out with the library board. So I went to the library board to see if this was a possibility. No, it couldn't happen. So I got with the librarian of the branch who was very supportive of the idea and talked with him about what data we could collect that could show usage and why it was important. And we went through the data that the library had collected, and we collected some additional data, and we put it together in a presentation. And then the librarian went out with this and started lobbying the other libraries for support. And then we went back to the library board, and the end result was that it was then opened 6.5 days a week, and it still is open 6.5 days a week. But that was a process of about a year and a half of being told no in different ways, but working consistently towards a goal that I felt was important for the community and that has resulted in very positive outcome.
Nice. And we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back after these messages.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend In Silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraluce.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
Want to help reduce the divisiveness in our world? Each year, the School for Esoteric Studies holds a subjective group conference. This year, our focus is on unity in diversity, the science of right human relations. From April till June, we will meditate together, study relevant writings, and share practical strategies for improving how we relate with each other. Join us to help build inclusive communities. Check on our subjective group conference at esotericstudies.net. That's the School for Esoteric Studies. At esotericstudies.net.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are going to pick up right where we left off. did you stay focused that whole time? I mean, I'd love to hear how you navigated that personally. You know, how did that feel? And
well,
you?
I think one of the things, you know, like there are little hope scales online. I've taken them from time to time. And I would describe myself as a very hopeful person. If you tell me something can't be done, it's like waving a red flag at me. You know, to me, if it's important, I'm going to figure out a way to do it. And part of it is, and I think we'll talk more about this in another week, is finding other people like that librarian that had the same vision. Because if I only spent my time talking to, for example, the board members that thought it was never going to happen, then I could have become so discouraged that I wouldn't have moved forward. I had to have at least some ally or allies that, you know, where we could brainstorm and say, okay, so we've tried this. This isn't working. What else can we try?
Yeah.
And continue to move forward.
And so hope just sort of creeps in there, right? It actually becomes, I almost see it as a momentum builder in a way.
It is. But it's that combination of optimism that this is possible, this can happen, and a willingness to keep trying different ways to reach the outcome, even if one doesn't work or another doesn't work or another doesn't work.
Right, right. Well, you know, it makes me think of the glass ceiling. You know, I know we move forward sort of from the history to the personal, and I love your example, but it brings me back to thinking about that we've got to just keep persisting. You know, we've got to – it comes back to the principles that we talked about in the first month, really about realizing that there's strength in understanding that we are interconnected. And that for you to find other people that you could sort of join forces with and come up with ideas and come up with solutions, and that we've got to be adaptable. You know, all of the principles of that underlie our reality are sort of supported there. So what's interesting is it seems that hope arises as a way to support the situation and support the outcome and keep you going and keep momentum. But you saying coming back again and again, it reminds me of glass ceilings. And I wanted to just mention Michelle Obama's speech during the Democratic National Convention. To me, it was so hopeful and just so beautiful and empowering. You know, she was talking about putting cracks in the glass ceiling. And it's a bit like your experience where someone can say no, but really, if hope and optimism is a part of your being, you just keep going because you see the solution, you know it's for the better, you know it's for the greater good, and you just keep working towards it. So, you know, glass ceilings, they're basically seeing potential through the glass and it's spiring. And but knowing that there's limitations that have to be surpassed, you got to sort of crack the glass ceiling. And so she was talking about having the guts and the grace to keep coming back and to persevere through these obstacles. And it was this moment, you know, where we were all sort of realizing that there was this potential to have a woman president, and certainly it was groundbreaking that there was a woman nominated for the president of the United States. And she said that it reminded her of her own sort of, you realize she has been through this and she knows hope and she knows what it means to generate hope. And she said this in that speech, I'm quoting her, "This is the story of this country, the story that has brought me to this stage tonight, the story of generations of people who felt the lash of bondage, the shame of servitude, the sting of segregation, but who kept striving and hoping and doing what needed to be done so that today I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves." And she said, "I watch my daughters, two beautiful, intelligent black young women, playing with their dogs on the White House lawn." Just lovely.
Beautiful.
And there,
yes.
And she says, we kept on striving, we kept on hoping and doing what needed to be done, which is what's so wonderful about your story, that really if we really press on and we do what needs to be done, it even makes me think of the POWs and talking about the daily tasks. You just do what needs to be done. That generates hope on so many levels.
Mm-hmm. It reinforces hope, right?
Very good point. Yes.
It's the display of hopefulness, and continuing to display it reinforces it.
Right. Right. So for listeners, I mean, when we're pondering generating hope, that it is really that it is there. It is that this action and just moving forward reinforces hope that is a quality of within our human experience.
Yes. Yes. And we can all choose to be hopeful. It takes practice.
Yes. Great power in choice, huh?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Dorothy, we're going to spend a month talking about hope. So let's tell listeners just a little bit about how we're going to do that. So we've talked about hope and what it is on this segment. And then we're going to talk next week about why hopefulness can be challenging. Why it can be challenging to generate that in our lives? Like, why is that so? If it's omnipresent, why does it feel so challenging sometimes? And then on the next week, which would be March 15th, we're going to talk about how we can strengthen our hopefulness muscle. You know, how do we build hope? We've got to practice. It's like you were saying, you've just got to keep at it and build that muscle. And then we're going to talk about hope and spirituality. How are they related? You know, how does hope play a part in our spiritual development? And then we're going to have a guest on the last show, and we'd love to answer questions. Again, we'd love it if listeners would write in. Yeah, Dorothy?
Absolutely. So why don't you give them the email address that they can use, Steve?
Sure. It is spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com. So any questions you have that you'd like us to talk about or to answer, just write them in. spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com. And you can also go to spiritfireradio.com, and there's a button there that will allow you to send a link.
Great.
Indeed. So, Dorothy, anything more you'd like to say about the school? We have a few minutes left before we wrap it up, and just wanted to let our listeners know ways that they can get engaged with the School for Esoteric Studies.
Thank you, Steve. I would really direct anybody interested in learning about the school or in aspects of their own spiritual development to look at esotericstudies.net. We have, in addition to information about the training that we provide, we have a lot of information about how to engage. For example, we have a whole section called About Service, which talks about different ways of engaging, what service is all about from an esoteric perspective as a way of being here based on the concept that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, not humans struggling to figure out what the spiritual is. And then different aspects of how we then live in service to the greater whole.
And if that doesn't generate hope, I don't know what does, being of service. Right?
Yes.
So Spirit Fire, I'd love to just tell listeners, we just started a new round. Both School for Esoteric Studies and Spirit Fire are very enthusiastic about meditation. Meditation, study, and service are three wonderful components of the spiritual life. And Spirit Fire has its own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness. And we just started a brand new round this week. So if you want to go to spiritfire.com, you could have a look under our meditation tab. And all of that's free. It's online. And open to anyone, all levels of practitioners. So we would love to be meditating with you and creating space in the mind, right, Dorothy? I mean, creating space in the mind is really, really helpful if you're going to try to engage hope. I mean, we've got to create space and we've got to create room for outcomes. We were talking about staying flexible and staying adaptable, and meditation can really help with that.
Yes, and I'd also just like to underscore that hope itself is empowering. It gives us the confidence that if we try, we can succeed, and the reminder that it is up to us to be the ones to be trying. It gives us the motivation to pursue opportunities and possibilities, and it is critical in the ability to persist. I mean, I'm sure all of us have had experiences of setbacks. I've certainly had my share. And without hope, I would not be able to keep going and keep trying and ultimately win through to positive results for my community.
Oh, beautifully said. Beautifully said, indeed. Dorothy, it's been great talking about hope. We will be back next week. We are going to talk about hope and why does it feel sometimes so challenging. We hope you'll join us. We'll be back next week with Spirit Fire Radio. Look forward to it.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.